Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hello and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio inside Max 6 Workspace and the Conscious Capitalism Arizona headquarters in Tempe, Arizona, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have back in the studio today my partner in crime for this segment, Barb Regis, who is the so many things. She is author and speaker and coach and provider, in addition to the host of her own show right here at Phoenix Business Radio called Best of Health. And we were just on last night with Gina Orr with Passion for Patients. And I invited you back for this segment because there's a reason.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Karen.
I'm glad to have you back.
Thank you.
So I invited Barb because she's all things health and wellness, and I couldn't help but want to introduce her to the team at Direct2MD. I had an opportunity to meet a couple of the people on the team back, I think it's been 2 years now, at Syntech, which was a kind of a local tech convention conference opportunity to connect with Arizona small businesses. And At that time, I think, Scott, you and I got to be on a segment together for about 5-10 minutes.
Correct. Yes.
Hopefully you have more to say today because we're going to be on longer.
Yeah. This is a longer show, isn't it? Hey. Thanks for having us.
Well, you brought some partners in crime to help you tell the Direct2MD story today. And Scott Mara, I did it, didn't I?
Well done.
Scott Mara. I said Mara, but
first
we had
time.
Already... See, we... Yeah. Scott Mara, who is the co-founder and chief sales officer with Direct2MD. And thank you for letting us tell your story, not only a couple years ago briefly while we were at that great convention, but also today with Paul Flatley, who is the co-founder and CEO. Welcome to the studio, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thrilled to have you. And Mike Loftus. I hope I said that correctly.
You did.
Even though we rehearsed, I still mess it up. And Mike, a professional healthcare consultant.
Yes, thank
you. Great to have you.
Great to be here.
So let's just have a conversation about the great work that you're doing for our community and what you're doing for healthcare. And I know Barb will have some questions as well. Let's start by having one of you just simply tell our listeners what and who is Direct2MD.
I can start.
All right.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Great. Go for it.
All right. Well, Direct2MD, we're a healthcare solution, really. We use a telemedicine platform. We do most of our work through telemedicine, seeing patients through any camera-enabled device. Our model is to go out to businesses. I've been an emergency room doc for about 20 years. I had plenty of opportunity to see lots of patients in the ER, certainly many of them that needed to be there, but oftentimes people that were almost apologetic that they were in the emergency department for their complaint. But the reality was they didn't have access to care anywhere else. And so there was clearly a need. Telemedicine has been around quite a while, although frequently a lot of people don't know about it. And as we went into it, we started to look at telemedicine and say, gosh, it's such a great idea, leveraging technology and everything else. Love the idea being able to see a patient through utilizing technology to be able to see patients through either a camera, a laptop, a computer, things like that. As good of an idea as it is, what's the problem with it? Well, nobody's using it. And so as we looked into it and we're trying to decide whether we were going to head down that road, we jumped in first and then started looking, well, heck, why isn't there utilization? How do we make this a valuable process? Can we make this valuable to individuals, to businesses and things like that? And so that's, again, what Direct2MD is, really that healthcare solution for small businesses. We're Arizona-based. We provide an opportunity for employers to give access to care to their employees at a reasonable rate where their employees can simply sign on from their phones, which is where 99% of our calls come in. They do a live FaceTime type call, similar to Skype or FaceTime, the difference being that it's a HIPAA compliant and encrypted platform that allows you to take care of those calls. And we do a FaceTime call, and right from that platform, we can diagnose you, treat you, send prescriptions in for you, send you for lab imaging, diagnostics, things like that.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So, and diagnostics and imaging and everything.
Yeah, we're trying to take it again. We looked at telemedicine. I'm very passionate about it. I'll try not to go take off on too much of a tangent. I'll suck
here,
up your hour in no time.
Please, please be passionate. That's what we want to hear.
All right. Well, it was, I'll take it over. You go back to the emergency department. And if you work in the emergency department, you work lots of night shifts.
Right.
And at 2 o'clock in the morning, I can write the prescription in advance, because at 2 o'clock in the morning, a dad's coming in there, a scared dad with a 2-year-old that has a fever of 101, and he's got strep throat. and it's easy and it's a slow walk down the hall. But you walk in there and dad says, man, I apologize right now. We don't have access to care, or we don't have enough access to care. It's not maybe not just uninsured, but underinsured. And there's only one place with the lights on between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. and that's emergency department. And I take a quick look in their throat and we write in a, I've rewritten or pre-written my prescription for amoxicillin. You hand it over to dad. You really, more than anything, you're providing education and reassurance, and you're talking dad off the cliff because he's just a scared dad. That's why he's there. And right. Doesn't want to wait till the morning. Is my kid at risk? And you give him a $2,700 prescription for amoxicillin. That costs him $4. But your average ER visit is $2,700. And it's just not fair. And that was the impetus. That's what it started.
You are speaking Barb's language.
Yeah, you really are. Because when my partner and I started our practice, the reason we did was we worked for the county and people were coming in and they were paying $150 cash for cash pay visit for strep throat as well. And we were like, we could do it better. And so in our office, we were charging a flat fee of $60, come in and see us, that kind of thing. And that was back in 2003. So what intrigues me about it is that it sounds like you guys are taking telemed to a secondary level. Because when I think of telemed, I think of like, you know, you talk to the provider, you may have the video going, but you're not getting into all the diagnostics, you're not getting into the second steps labs and stuff like that. And it sounds like you've taken the platform and upped it up a notch. Is that true?
I think that's very accurate. We looked at telemedicine. The reality is, as we got into it, went into it thinking, heck, we'll follow similar models. Can we make this work? We're going to be Arizona based. We'll be the best one. And the reality was we were having trouble getting the phone to ring, and we looked around and all the companies are. Again, you have less, the biggest company in the country has less than 1% utilization. It's not working. Why isn't it? Because it's so cool. So we really looked at it, and I can give you a kind of a 6 or 7 bulleted reason what we did. We looked at what's not working with telemedicine and tried to decide what can we do about it to change it. And I'll try to do that in a accurate and concise way. First thing was, a lot of these companies you call in, there can be a very long wait time. We know people get frustrated. The right. idea of using your phone is that it's convenient and quick. And so we wanted to be a quick response time. You don't jump on there and wait 30 minutes. We have an average response time of 6 minutes. So when you pick up your phone, you're talking to a provider in 6 minutes. Second thing was a triage system. A lot of places will use a triage system to decide, do you really need to see the provider? Can you wait to your doctor? Well, heck, you didn't call in because you wanted somebody to triage you. You called in because you want to see a doc and get an answer. And so you go right to the provider in 6 minutes. The next one we looked at is when, again, this is one of the, if we look at the big obstructions, they're one of the biggest reasons that telemedicine is not being utilized. Many of the companies charge a copay. And so the way our business is no different from many of the others in terms of we're really going right out to the business owners and insurance brokers to see if we can get our product put into businesses. We think we're a great solution and great access to care. And so many of the companies have a low cost. They'll charge the employer, hey, well, for a couple dollars a month, we'll give your employees access to care. When they go to use it, that's where I make that kind of, it's a little smart alecky, but it's vending machine medicine, right? Slide in your credit card, push A7 and your amoxicillin. I promise you will come fluttering down. But it's agenda driven. Patient knows what they want. They're calling it in. Is this in our acceptable list? Great. But that obstruction, that idea that you got to pay $25, $35, $15, any limit, any amount of money to get in the door is a big obstruction, and people just don't know what they're going to get, and so they don't want to do it.
Yeah, they'll second guess all the time.
All right. And so the big one was the copay, and so we've changed that model. We charge a little bit more to that employer, but guess what? There's no copay when our patients call us. It's 24/7, 365. No copay to get in, no balance billing. It's free care. It's provided 99% of the time. We do have a voluntary benefit and individuals can do it, but the majority of our work is employer sponsored. Next one is just an awareness. We go into businesses all the time to onboard them, and that's part of our protocol. If you don't know you have it, how are you going to use it? And
the
I ask them all the time.
Piece, right?
You better say, how many of you, hey, pull out your insurance cards. Oftentimes, 20% of them have telemedicine built right into
they
the bag.
Know it.
Nobody ever knew it. But if you look at these models, again, they have some of the bigger companies that get a couple dollars per patient per month, and they've got millions of patients. Heck, let's take the money on the front end. You don't have to provide a lot of service. That wasn't our model. My idea, I'm still looking at that patient in the ER. How do I get them to use this? How can we get them to utilize it?
Yeah, kind of a capitation kind of model.
There you go, right. Yeah. And so I get it. I'll give you an idea. By and again, I know we're halfway through our bulleted points, but to cut to the chase, we get 8% utilization every month
of our
employees. And the rest of the big companies get less than 1% a year. But and we're seeing 8% of our, and really it's 8% is the number of, and it's interesting that it's held that number since we started 3 years ago. And again, those reasons are, as I'm indicating, that we got rid of the copay model. We got rid of Well, we go out and make you familiar. We get out, Scott and I, we go out and we call it our dog and pony show, but we project our screen. We bring in a funny little projector. We project Scott's cell phone up there and we walk him right through. We say, hey, everybody pull out your phones. Everybody download the app. This is how you create an account. I'm the doctor. I'm not that scary. Don't be afraid to call. Our docs are nice. That's how, people aren't doing neurosurgery through this app. They're practicing basic medicine. You just have to be nice.
Well, that's the thing is you have to care about who you're seeing. And that was like we were talking about with Passions for Patients is, you know, so much about it is the patient expectation. Be nice. Listen to me. Engage me. Understand that I know my body really well, you know, better than unfortunately we do, you know. And a lot of times the perception with doctors is that and PAs and nurse practitioners is that, oh, we know everything, you know, we know better, but we don't know better. And I think we're learning in medicine today that we have to change that whole thought process. We have a more sophisticated group of people that are actually utilizing healthcare and they're wanting to utilize it in a very specific way.
You bet.
And manner.
I completely agree. The next thing, if you look at telemedicine across the board, they can take care. All telemedicine companies can manage about 80% of the calls that come in. Historically, we're trying to change that. 80% of the calls that come in are agenda driven. What does that mean? They either have an acute illness. I've got the flu. I've got a sore throat. I've got a cough.
Right.
Or I need a med refill. And it's great that these companies are offering that service. The idea that I always paint this picture, but the idea that a working mom has to take a half day off work and pull a healthy kid out of school to go see their pediatrician because the office is only open till 5 to get their albuterol nebulizer machine for their regular asthma that they've been on for 2 years refilled so that doc can get their copay is going away. It's whether they like it or not, that's a broken system. It's not efficient. It's loss of productivity for the employer. It's bad on the kid to be pulled out of school. And if you didn't have the flu when you walked in the office, you have it when you walk out.
Yeah.
And so, so lots of reasons. So we looked at that and said that again, it's agenda driven. Thankfully, these companies, we can offer that. And we cover that 80%. Now, what's the other 20%? The other 20% is one of three reasons. You get sent out because you get referred out because you either need an x-ray, some type of imaging study, you need a lab study, or you need a hands-on evaluation. And at DirectMD, we looked at it and said, can we address that? Can we take on more than 80? Because we'll be more valuable. The reason for that, the reason to take on more, by the way, Scott and I looked at this and he knows I'm a little bit of I have a soft spot for this population. The working poor is very dear to me. I love taking care of them. And they're the ones that are oftentimes hit with that big bill. They've got to pay that $2,700. Not fair. And so in an effort to go after that crowd, we're working with employers oftentimes have 50 employees or fewer. They're not affected by the Affordable Care Act. They don't have to provide insurance. And realistically, they can't. Having a comprehensive plan is not realistic. So we're a great tool for them and we can get access to care for that population. But what we're finding out as we started to do this, we were becoming more and more popular with companies that were larger and able to provide insurance, sometimes in the 100 to 150 market where you're starting to become self-insured. Mm-hmm. And if you're self-insured, well, heck, you got a big pool of money. And if we can take that $2,700 out of the emergency department because the patient didn't need there and keep it in that pool of money, it goes longer. We start saving. We show decreased utilization rates like crazy for those employers. And so now most of our work goes with these companies that are able to provide insurance. They're self-insured. And every single time that we can make a diversion from the emergency department and urgent care, even family practice, it saves money. Saves the patient productivity. Heck, we can talk about the benefits from the patient standpoint, right? It's convenient access. It's affordable. It's given to them by their employer. They're appreciative. Heck, we want our businesses we take care of. We want the employer to get carried around at the Christmas party for providing this benefit, right? So we like that. But for the employer endpoint, it's great, right? He has decreased claims. He makes his policy maybe a good argument for decrease in their rates or at least stabilizing and not the standard increase 17% every year. So that's how we get to that. Why take on that additional 20%? Well, if we can take that on, that's really where we impact claims because it's the claims that require imaging, laboratory, and hands-on evaluation that really add up. And so we looked at that. And just to give you a couple anecdotal or even a couple examples, how do you do that 20%? Laboratory. I take care of a lot of urinary tract infections when women call. They tend to know. I feel very comfortable treating a urinary tract infection without a formal urine. However, if we treat that and you call me back a week later and you say, gosh, it started getting better, now it feels like it's coming back. Well, now you're stuck. And every other telemedicine company out there, now you're engaging the system. You got to go provide a urinalysis. If you're going to practice good medicine, I can put you on another antibiotic. But it's not. So now I can talk to you on the phone and say, hey, listen, let's practice good medicine. I'm going to send you a prescription for your analysis. Drop into any outpatient lab here in Arizona. You're looking at Sonora Quest, LabCorp. Drop a urinalysis there. Go give a urine sample. I'm going to get the results in 48 hours. But after you drop that urine, let's go ahead and change your antibiotic. Now I can practice good medicine, and I still can keep you from having to engage the formal system. Same idea for x-ray. Suppose we treated you. We'll use a couple examples. Either maybe you have a kid that's got a twisted ankle for a week, and it's just still nagging him. You're like, well, what do I do? I don't want to go spend that money in the ER. I don't want to take time off work. I don't want to go to urgent care. I don't know if they can manage it. All these questions. Well, if you have access to us, you can call us because it doesn't cost you a penny. We'll help you navigate it. But the reality is, if you need a chest x-ray, same idea. Suppose we treated you for bronchitis. 10 days later, you're not getting better. Well, heck, I can have you engage the system. But what if I could just send you for an x-ray? If you go to the ER where I worked, your chest x-ray is about $300. It's an emergency fee one, right? It goes on there, but it's going to be $300 radiology fee. If I send you to an outpatient center, you can go use your insurance, but your copay could be $60, $75 for your chest x-ray. Big savings over the emergency department, but still costly. Do you know what the cash price is?
For it's $35.
Yeah, $28 at some of the outpatient, $28. So now think about that. So now we're sending you for an x-ray. You pull out your insurance card and your cash price is less than your insurance copay. So now you go one step further. Once again, you're making even fewer claims because now you're just going to pay cash. And now you start making enough dents in this. You start fixing a broken system. You're giving people access to care. And making it a competitive market to pay for imaging. Right. I've gotten MRIs of the cervical spine and lumbar spine in the last couple of weeks. Different patients for cash, $240.
And that's what we preach that in our office too. In the state of Arizona, it's legal for you to go ahead and not use, you know, your insurance. The main thing is just doesn't go to your deductible, but you can use your HSA account. So we do the same thing. In my practice a lot, I go, you know, and I use GoodRx all the time. And I go, okay, you do this versus this. This is going to save you money. You want to keep money in your pocket, that kind of thing.
You bet. GoodRx is a great example of that.
And so I think it's amazing what you guys are doing. I'm curious to see how the three of you met and how this relationship started.
Well, interesting. Okay, well, I'll take that. Well, Paul and I were actually next door neighbors.
Really? Howdy neighbor.
I had run some businesses and one in particular for 20 years. And I saw him going to work every day and was envious of someone in that field, the medical field. And I, one day on a cocktail napkin with Paul after work one day, he started talking about being involved in a telemedicine company. He had been involved in one at the hospital he worked at. He saw the value in that. He saw how he was helping people. And he thought, you know what? There might be an opportunity to create a business model behind this. So really, Paul was the thought behind it. But with regards to the business, it was about, hey, can we take this as friends and neighbors out to the rest of our friends and neighbors? And so that was really the original thought was, let's go out and create a consumer play to all of our friends and family who've had their kids up on Paul's kitchen table getting stitches or what it might have been after, you know, soccer games and baseball games, Little League games. And the first person we presented it to was a gentleman that said, nah, I'm just going to keep bringing them down and putting on your kitchen table. That's easy for me to do. But I have a couple of McDonald's restaurants.
Oh, wow. Right.
I can use this. I see this as a value for me because I can use it for hiring and retention. And Paul and I looked at each other and thought, well, wait a minute, what's he talking about? And so we put some thought into that. And ultimately, maybe that's where someone like Mike comes into the picture, is just talking with people about how businesses are looking at saving money and the need to save money in the health, you know, the health field. We didn't really see that. We were looking at more of a concierge, help our neighbors. And so that was the kind of the origin of, okay, now we're going to look at going a different direction. And so that's how I met Paul. And then I think probably very quickly after this, Mike was one of the trusted representatives that we were referred to through some people that we respected and were advisors also in the space. And very quickly, we found that Mike Loftus was going to be someone that was going to advise us and help us with our growth. And so that's where Mike came into the picture as one of our representatives and someone that talks to businesses and actually puts insurance in place in different businesses. And so he was a good advocate, first day advocate for us. And so that's where the three of us, I guess, came about. But Paul and I have known each other for close to 20 years now.
Yeah. And well, and it's no mystery. There's not enough business education in medical school, right? I think I got
absolutely
out of there, did my training at the county hospital here in Phoenix. So I love the county. And I think you come out of there being well-versed on how to practice emergency medicine. But I'll tell you, they don't teach you much about running a business or being an entrepreneur. And so
right,
I'm fortunate to have a friend like Scott who'd been down that road. He started a couple of businesses. He's seen that part of it. And so it wasn't a hard transition to medicine. And the business development stuff is kind of the same, maybe little tweaks here and there, but things that I didn't know. So he's been great. And then as Scott mentioned with Mike, we're doing most of our work these days with insurance brokers. We started going right to the business owner, but there's only two of us. And if we can get some brokers that like our product and we can show them it works, well, they get in front of their businesses. And so that's really the way it's working right now.
Mike, I'm anxious to hear when this idea was kind of presented to you. What was your first thinking? You were familiar with telemedicine prior to that, of course.
Very much.
But what made you go, I want to play here. I want to help out.
Well, one was Paul's great and Scott's great passion for healthcare. I've been in this. I've seen the telehealth space for a long time. And while Paul said 80% of the calls can be handled over the phone or by call center medicine or whatever they're doing, the fact of the matter is they're probably handling more like 30. And so when we talked about healthcare and how we can integrate with this with healthcare or build a better box for people to get service out there, we looked at some of the things that weren't happening in telemedicine. And so quickly, that call center said, nope, go see your doctor. Nope, go see your doctor. And you didn't get that service. And then with that copay in there, you know, that's just that one little piece when you need to go see somebody. And you go, oh, I have to pay something? I don't even know this person. Why should I trust this? And that trust piece is a huge component relative to communication with the doctor. So the great thing is I can pick the phone. And, you know, I've got this guy on the phone, and immediately there's trust there. And what I've found with our customers is these guys become the primary care physicians. They call them first. They don't go to the doctor. They call direct too. Even if people are going to a doctor, 50% of the time you're confused. 60% of the time, you choose the wrong type of doctor. So now they're also being an advocate, a quarterback, if you will, to help you make sure that you're going to the right place you should based on your questions and concerns. You know, people go on that WebMD, great. But you can't ask yourself all the right questions. But these guys can, and that's the beauty of it. So they're giving you some great direction along the way when you need to engage the system. But more often than not, they're keeping people from engaging the system. So the employer groups we're working with, that I'm working with, many of them have self-funded or type plans. And so they're seeing actually substantial money left in the claims pool, which is helping the claims and reducing costs and making it more affordable for the employees. And I walk into offices and nobody's happy with healthcare anymore. You know, they're just like, everybody hates it. It's all bankruptcy protection is all it's become. And I walk in the door and so it's not as much fun as it used to be. But now I walk in, they say, oh, that direct too? That is fantastic. So, I mean, all these people just respond to it. So it's been overwhelmingly great. And it's been great to work with these guys and help them understand some of the rules of ERISA and ACA and how we dovetail these products together to make sure that they're a good fit for our business customers.
I have to jump in because whenever I hear Mike say, yeah, they're primary care, a little part of me lurches a little bit. And the truth is, that's what we're practicing, right? We're practicing primary care through this app. But are we a replacement for your primary care doc? The answer is no. I think there's no comparison to being able to be in front of your doc, having him listen to your heart, listen to your lungs, the touch, the feel, the comfort, the familiarity. But the reality is that's a dying breed. And many people, whether you have coverage or not, simply don't make the time to do it. And are we ending up being the default primary care doctor? You bet. And for people that don't have access to a primary, will I do that? All day long, I'll do backflips to help people navigate the system. And so I'll give you another anecdotal example, but we take care of a big car dealership in town. And again, we take care of their insured and their part-timers that don't have insurance, but we'll get a call from somebody that maybe doesn't have insurance. And I'll get a call, something along the lines of, hey, doc, I work for this dealership. I've got access to you. I used to be treated for high blood pressure, cholesterol, and diabetes, and fallen out of care for a couple of years is a common story. Can you help me get back on my meds? I'm not going to make the time. I'm not going to go pay cash and find a primary, but they'll call us because they can do it. And I think, oh gosh, I know what that answer is at the other companies. You got to check in.
Yeah,
you just can't do it.
They would not do that.
Well, I'll tell you what I do now. I said, listen, you need to be in front of somebody. I want to help. I said, but let's do this. Can you afford $75, $70? because for about $70 cash, I can send you to an outpatient lab. You can get your blood drawn, and when you and I do another follow-up telemedicine visit in about 2 days. So we'll schedule it. We sign on. We're doing a virtual visit, so it's through the app. But now I've got a lipid profile. I know what his cholesterol is. I know what his blood sugar is. I know what his hemoglobin A1C is. I can get for right. Barb, who knows the right. lingo, I can get a blood count. I can get an electrolyte panel with kidney function and blood sugar. I can get a test called a hemoglobin A1C that tells me how your blood sugar has been doing over the last 6 weeks. I can get your lipid profile. Now I can say, hey, with evidence base, with practicing good medicine, I can get you, yeah, you know what? Your cholesterol is 300. Let's get you back on a medicine. And your blood sugar, your hemoglobin A1C is 8%. We need to get you back on metformin. And let me use the GoodRx app to find out where we can save you money. I'll send you to three different pharmacies to get each of those meds in order to save you money. So are we practicing primary care? You bet. Is that guy best served in an office? Yes. If he doesn't have access to it, is this better? And this is really interesting what this ties into. It's the last bullet, which was a nice lead into it. And that is all other telemedicine companies work in a silo. There's no communication, right? We already know there's not great communication between different electronic medical records. I don't know what happened when you went to the county hospital or St. Joe's or Scottsdale. I don't know the answer. We need to remedy that. It'd be nice because there's a lot of redundancy. If I don't have access to that, I repeat tests. However, when I talk to Joe in the garage at the car dealership and we get him started on his meds, I say, hey, did you know that your dealership has a TPA? Do you know what that is? A third-party administrator? I said, they're worried about you and they're worried about people that are under this company. I said, do you mind if I reach out? And so we are establishing relationships with the third-party administrators, trying to break down those walls or silos. So now I can go back and say, hey, listen, saw one of your patients, not even on the plan yet, but as he gets on there, guess who's going to be the guy that used up your claims pool, because he's the one that's at risk for
the
MI.
Risk, right?
He's the one that's going to have the stroke. He's the one that's going to be in the ICU for 3 weeks, and your claims pool is going to get absorbed in one case. Said, reach out to this guy. He's expecting it. I've got him back on his meds, but you get that guy plugged into the clinic. Now, not only are you breaking down the walls, you're extending life to that individual. He's got somebody that cares. He's back on meds. He took the step to just use the phone because it was easy. And it was a benefit given to him. But now by closing that loop, you have somebody that says, hey, listen, let's get you into that clinic. Let's follow those hemoglobin A1C. Let's do the follow-up. Can we do some of it? Yes. I mean, we try to. But again, we do a lot of primary care, but we're not a replacement. And the only other example I'll give you that is oh, gosh, I don't know, school physicals, right? You get that call from parents. You're like, hey, this is great access. My employer gives me this. Can you scribble your signature on this school physical so my kid can play soccer? Well, I can, and it would take, and 99.9% of the time we'd get away with it. But my argument
is
to that
the right
parent,
thing to do.
Well, it's my argument to the parent. And I say, hey, listen, it's the one time, maybe the only time this year, because you have to do it, that your doc is going to look in your kid's ear. He's going to listen to your heart and find that subtle murmur. He's going to do a hernia check. These are things that, you know, would be great. Maybe there'll be peripherals and allow us to do this through telemedicine, but it's not there yet. So try to practice good medicine, and we'll refer those out. And if we can make a mechanism to get that done safely, I'd love to do it. But those are some of the exceptions.
It would be great if you had relationships with some primary cares that say, hey, you are my go-to people. So that way you know that as soon as a patient is seen, like your diabetic patient, you go, hey, so-and-so clinic, I need this person to be followed up. Can you see them? And it goes back to accessibility. I mean, you have to have same-day appointments available. You have to be accessible to your patients. And yeah, you're right. Primary care is a dying breed, and it's really sad that the family medicine is going that way. Yeah. But part of it goes back to your overheads. And what I'm hearing from you guys, from a business standpoint, your overhead compared to what my overhead when I owned my own family practice, two of them, is like very minimal compared to that. So you guys are able to, you know, practice, you know, good medicine. There are times where, like, you know, I wanted to jump in and say, well, you know, you're going to have that 20% of the person has the abdominal pain that may have appendicitis, you know, you're going to have to punt them. Or, you know, there's certain people you just have to punt, and they want you to be able to serve them. Because, like, I'll have patients calling me, and my cell phone's available to my patients, and I'll go, this is one that I can't help you over the phone. You need to be seen. And I'm telling you, if you don't, you may have an appendicitis, and my track record's been pretty good. It's been
what was my situation with you?
Yeah.
Right? So at the time, Barb was our family PA, and that's where we went for primary care. And I was the one sending cell phone pictures of my daughter's rash or this or that. But not everybody has a Barb in their life, right?
Yeah,
and we've obviously developed a personal friendship before and after that. But the appendix and had an emergency hysterectomy. Thank goodness I had my telemedicine provider because she
unofficial.
But to my point, right? Yeah. Not everybody can have a barb, and not everybody can afford a barb, and so you're working with the employers to provide this amazing benefit, and it's the relationship, and that's the point I wanted to speak to. There's this humanity piece and there's this psychological piece. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you were talking, Paul, about this example of this guy who needs to, you know, get in and get his blood checked and get back on his meds, I can't help but think there's some safety for that guy or gal in just reaching out through the cell phone, right? Because there's probably some embarrassment, there's probably some shame, maybe even uncertainty. He or she knows they're not eating right. Whatever that stuff is that we've got going on in our mind. And in our case, when we were working with Barb, financially, like, oh my God, no one can get hurt because I cannot afford another visit, right? With how poor our insurance was as two self-employed people at the time. That's what I'm hearing us talk about. This is around helping humanity. And there's a psychological piece that what you're offering people is this safe way to come back into ownership to their health and well-being. So speak to that a little bit.
I'll give you a couple examples. But what Barb is talking about is something that we've done. And it's kind of one of those got snuck out of there in terms of one of those bullets. And it's navigation is the term we use. And people are medically naive. If you have a blank medical history, God bless you. You are so lucky. But if you don't, you might know your way around the emergency department or where you go to get care. But if you're fortunate enough to not have had a lot of involvement in the healthcare system, it's wonderful, but you're vulnerable and you don't know how to navigate it. And to Mike's point, 60% of patients self-refer to the wrong specialist. So we are acting hard. Again, we want to provide, truly want to provide concierge care to Joe in the garage at the car dealership. And so what I mean by helping navigate, sorry, I keep throwing in these anecdotes, but a great example is it was like a slow pitch over the plate, the belly pain, right? I mean, heck, you call me in and I get a call from a parent who signed in their 12-year-old girl with abdominal pain. Well, heck, abdominal pain in pediatrics is hard when I'm in the ER, right? And you want me to do it on my phone. So this isn't something, this is something likely I can't help you. I can't take care of definitively, but is there value in navigation? And this is one of the reasons why, heck, if you're an Arizona-based business, we can help you more than anybody. All of our providers are active providers in the state. And we all know the healthcare landscape. And why does that help? Because when that dad calls in and says, man, mom's out of town, I got a 12-year-old with abdominal pain. What do I do? And I'm looking at him out of my phone and I'm thinking, yeah, she's hurting. You're not going to sit at home with that. You need to get that checked out. And I said, well, what were you going to do? Well, I was going to run down to urgent care. Well, I can tell you right now, unfortunately, there's limited diagnostics there. There's a perfect place for urgent care. So you need a couple of stitches. You need a quick x-ray. I can give you a list. So we help you navigate those too. But I'll tell you what, for abdominal pain where you need diagnostics, it's the wrong place. Because if you're not insured, it's $160. They'll have your daughter pee in a cup, tell you your 12-year-old's not pregnant, give you your receipt, your urinalysis, and send you where? To see me in the ER. Well, I happen to have done I did my 18 years in the ER up at Scottsdale Healthcare, Honor Health. Well, Osborne, I was the medical director there for many years. It's the trauma center. That's where people want to come. So people come. I took care of pediatrics there, pediatric abdominal pain all day long. However, did you know that if I do diagnose that abdominal or that 12-year-old with abdominal pain or that has abdominal pain with appendicitis, there's no pediatric surgeons at Osborne. Right. There's no pediatric beds. So if you're not 14 or over, you can't get your appendix out there. So not only now I have a diagnosis of appendicitis, I'm sitting on a potentially rupturing appendix. I got to get you the heck out of there. So you've paid your $2,700 on the front end. Now I'm going to put you in a $1,500 ambulance. Very often going to another emergency department where you will get another $2,700 bill, even though it's all wrapped up with a pink bow on it as the diagnosis. Where am I sending you from? Well, it's because we know the landscape. If you're at Osborne, I'm sending you up to Scottsdale Shea or I'm sending you to Phoenix Children's. Right. Those are the closest. But if I talked to you first and if I didn't know what it was, hey, listen, yeah, this kid could have appendicitis. You might end up in the hospital. Do you mind driving by an emergency department? If you're in the emergency department, I can't tell you that. That's EMTALA. But you call me on my app, I can tell you, hey, let's go to where the action is. Go to the first spot, the correct spot the first time, because there's tremendous savings in it. And you have a coach. You can reach us because we're in it for you. We can help you navigate it. It's just that to your other point about engaging humanity, that dad that comes to the ER at 2:00 in the morning is there for only one reason. It's the only place with the lights on and he's scared. we do more education through this app than anything else, because it's all I'm doing really in the ER. It's coming
healthcare
in.
Healthcare is education.
It
yeah.
is.
And it's your teacher.
That's it. And if I can tell you, hey, listen, I know why you're scared. I've got three kids and I don't like it when my kids are sick either. Even I get scared. But you know what? Can put it in parameters. I say, hey, listen, he's got a well-looking kid. Let's get his fever down. ABC, maybe they need antibiotics. Maybe it's just the fever, but they don't know. And guess what? I'm fine. I wasn't sure if I could, as a provider, be able to provide that same level of reassurance through a platform where I'm looking on a screen. But I'll tell you what, I can. I've seen it. And I see that same level of anxiety going ding, ding, ding. We get calls about head injuries. Do I need to go in? Do I need a CT?
Right.
Well, if you're in the ER, guess what happens a lot of times? You get the CT because it's convenient, it's easy. And as a provider, it's the safest thing I can do. If you got a 3-year-old that fell and has that big goose egg on their head and you come in at 8 o'clock, I know that kid's 8 o'clock at night. I know that kid's going home to go to bed. Right? Well, if I do a scan, I don't have to worry about the kid anymore. If I send you home without a scan because it's better for your kid because we didn't do radiation, now I'm liable and I'm nervous. Well, guess what? If I see you on that if I see you on the platform, we talk about head injury. I tell parents all the time, well, you can go in and get a CT. It's not best for your kid. Or you can have a bad night tonight and wake your kid up every couple hours. But tomorrow morning when your kid's fine, you save time, money, and avoided the exposure. So you can just have more freedom to educate parents on where this is likely to go and what's going on. And I think there are certain diagnoses that are just a perfect fit. And more than anything, if you just wanted to ask questions, but get it to a provider to ask those questions in a quick manner, there's nothing like it. This is the way to go.
Now, can we clone you?
What's that?
I know. I'm thinking, because as a physician, seriously, I love what you're saying. And the fact that you're an ER doc and the fact that you are so engaging. And I love the fact that you're practicing awesome medicine and you're not thinking about litigious stuff as much. And you're right. It's like in primary care, you know, in my practice, is like kids would fall and it's like you spend some time and say, watch out for this, watch out for this, go to the ER if this ABC happens. Okay. Otherwise, you know, they're probably going to be fine. But like you said, if they go to the ER, they're going to do the studies. And how many – let's talk about how much radiation each CT is for an individual. And these days, it's like you're trying to educate them. Like, it's not a great thing to have CTs every 3 months. And you go to the hospital and like they're having like 3 or 4 scans in a period of a week because they had a fall. Like my dad at 95 had a fall and basically had a slight subdural hematoma, right? But it wasn't surgical. So they kept him overnight for like 3 nights and he healed himself, but he had 4 CTs.
Right.
And you're just thinking,
I know. No, it is. And I appreciate it. That's very kind of you to say. I am passionate about what the type of work we're doing. And I'm passionate about how far we can push telemedicine rather than limiting what you could do for just for the business. And so it's fun to push that and help people navigate and send them for x-rays and practice good medicine. For the hiring, I joke about cloning. Again, it can't be any more complimentary to me. I appreciate that. But what's fun is, again, I think emergency providers are uniquely suited for this. We're a little bit paranoid, right? You got a limited time to see a patient. You have to think about, it's different from true primary care. There's an old expression in medicine that says, hey, when you hear hoofbeats, think of horses. Well, in the ER, they said, when you hear of hoofbeats, think of zebras. Think of what's the worst thing. What's the unusual thing? And how do you rule that out? And that's why you get the CAT scan. In the ear, I only have one shot.
We think of zebras too, and then we think we wish we had the toys to play with.
Yeah, right. And we have.
And then it's like, oh, I gotta send you the ER.
Right.
You know, because the health insurance one, worst headache of your life. And it's like you want to get like a stat CT, right? And then you call the insurance company up, like, and I can tell you, Humana at the time, and you're saying, I really need this scan really bad. Trust me, I need it. No. And then you need to do a peer to peer, and then finally you go, listen, you got two ways we're going to go. You either give me the authorization for the CT right now, or I'm going to send them to the local ER, and they're going to have an ER access fee. They're going to have a visit. They're going to have this. And so what would have been $400 now is going to be like $2,600. What do you want to do? You want to play ball?
Right.
You know, and it's so frustrating.
It's hard. But I do like being able to get back to that point about the emergency department.
Yeah.
Just there, we're kind of paranoid. And I think if you have a unique, if you have an isolated diagnostic platform where you're looking at people on the screen, I want the providers to be like, all right, let's start. What's the worst scenario? What's the most likely scenario? Explain both those to the patient. Say, hey, how do you want to navigate this? Because these are the things I'm worried about. I think it's very unlikely, et cetera, whatever that is. But it's an opportunity. Again, it's education. It's using that clinical acumen you have. But at the end of the day, you don't even need technical hands to do this. You need to have clinical experience You have to be a people person. Those are the providers.
I was going to ask. That's who you're
hiring
looking for,
people,
right?
You bet.
Yeah, right. And you know, when we were in school, you know, after you discuss, you know, and ask questions, you do the interview and you really get to know the patient, hands-on really is confirming the diagnosis, right? You should, like, be – In a lot of diagnoses, like, you should be 90% sure before you do hands-on with a basic diagnosis.
I think
you know,
that's
like
great.
A UTI or a URI or a sinus infection or, you know, strep. It would be nice to have a rapid strep to prove it, that kind
there
of thing,
go.
Flu and stuff like that. But, you know, and just telling them, hey, follow up with me in a couple of days if you're not getting better. Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, and that 90% is great. I think that's another great point. In emergency medicine training, the whole kind of your mantra of training, you knew you residency training program felt pretty good about their residents if they said, I remember when our program director saying, hey, our residents know who's sick and who's not. And I didn't really understand that at the time, but now I do. And that is most of the time when you walk into a room in the emergency department, within 5 seconds, unspoken language, just a look, in about 5 seconds, I already know whether you're going to be admitted to the hospital or not. I don't even care what your complaint is. You just get a feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think spat on the phone. And so you get this feel of, hey, sick, not sick. What can we, you know, how do you do those diagnoses? Is 90% good enough? Because 90% of what I do is the questions. I can do
right.
that on the platform. I can't validate it. I don't have the validation studies. But if 90% is accurate, that's why you can take care of such a big percentage, like the urinary tract infection without a urinalysis. A couple other examples I'll throw in there. Get the question a lot. What about an ear infection? You get a call for an ear infection. You can't look in my ear. Now, certainly there are peripherals, but people don't own them that they can look in your ears. So how do you treat that? And I tell people, I said, I'd like to think we practice common sense medicine. And I'll give you a scenario with a slight twist. Mom calls up, says, hey, doc, Chase just woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He's got fever 102. He's absolutely inconsolable. He's never done this before. It got me a little nervous, but you think he seems uncomfortable. You think he could have an ear infection? Will you put him on an antibiotic? Well, absolutely not. That's terrifying. And I don't know what's wrong with him either. However, let me tweak it just a little bit. Mom calls up. Oh, doc, Chase woke up 2 o'clock in the morning. He's got fever 102. He's absolutely inconsolable. I can't believe we're doing this again. This is the third time this year where he's had a cold for a week. He always leads to an ear infection.
Right.
He won't let go of his left ear. And so now, will I treat that kid? You bet. It looks like a duck and acts like a duck. It's probably a duck.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Mom? Let's go ahead and treat that ear. Get him some Motrin. Get him some Tylenol. Let's put him on an antibiotic. But will you do me a favor? He's not really convincingly better in 48 hours. Will you get somebody in there? Will you go and see your pediatrician? Let him look in that ear and confirm. Because we are doing it's good clinical medicine. It's an educated guess with some clinical acumen behind it. Probably right. But if it's not, I want somebody to take a look. So it's education, discharge instructions, follow-up parameters, things like that. But it is practicing common sense medicine. Another person, we get a lot of questions. And you can imagine how when I talk about agenda-driven medicine, this could be the biggest antibiotic vending machine there is. This could be absolutely the worst thing ever for over-prescribing antibiotics. I actually expected it to be, you know, and I'll tell you why I don't think it has turned into that, but I was frightened that that's what it was going to turn into. But let me give you an example. Suppose you think you have a big sinus infection. And I think you have a virus. But if you come to the emergency department and you wait 3 hours in the waiting room and you pay $300 and I come walking down the hall and say, yeah, you got a cold, go home and take some Motrin. This is a customer service game.
Oh.
You are going to leave with your door prize. And I would try to pick the antibiotic that will do you the least harm because I still think it's viral, but you're not going to leave without your door
prize,
stuck. Right? You
yeah,
are. So,
you're stuck.
Well, and I'll tell you, it's so hard to get into your primary care doctors these days. You could do the same thing, right? You go see your primary care doc and you don't get in for a couple of days. They want your continued business. They want to take care of you. Your expectation is to be put on an antibiotic. You're probably going to get it. Well, what happens in telemedicine? Well, you call in and say, hey, doc, I know I got this sinus infection. I'm just sure that's what's going on. I tell people all the time, well, you could. There's a lot of viruses out there. I ask them very candidly now. I just say, can I be very frank with you? Are you calling me because, heck, you get sick once a year and you need that antibiotic and you're not getting better until then? Are you calling me for my clinical opinion about what's going on? And it's amazing how many people say, well, I was thinking I need an antibiotic, but what's your opinion? And
yes.
What's beautiful, people are there. They like to be educated. They like to hear it. And you know what's beautiful? You have a built-in follow-up plan that doesn't cost
right.
you a penny. Because I say, hey, listen, go get some Claritin D. Get some Motrin. Let's get the decongestant going. Maybe an albuterol inhaler. Let's not do antibiotics. Let's see if we can clear up that bronchitis that everybody expects. Nobody knows that. Bronchitis is not an indication for antibiotics. We don't treat bronchitis with antibiotics. But everybody's perception is that you do. But I say, hey, let's see if we can get you over it. But here's the beauty. You call, you feel worse tomorrow, you change your mind, you just want that antibiotic. It'll take you 5 minutes to get on the phone with one of us, and it doesn't cost you a penny. I can see people day after day, and hey, after day four, day five, you're frustrated. Guess what? If you can't get in, if you don't have access to a primary to go look, I'll put you on that antibiotic. If you call me and, hey, I'm not getting better till I get it, we'll take care of that too.
Well, and it's all practice medicine. It's about all about time frames.
And,
you know?
And in that story, it's education again. You are not only building relationship, but you're also educating whoever they are around, you know, the dangers of antibiotics and overuse and whatever the storyline is. I hear that consistently. So when Barb asked jokingly, but also very seriously, if we can clone you, clearly you've done that, right? Because you're not the only one 24/7 behind this, right? So can any of you speak to who else is on board?
Well, we've again put Paul in charge of finding our providers for us.
I think
that was just a collective decision within our office that we wanted more Paul as well.
Yep.
So, you know, when you work 20 years in one place, you build a lot of relationships up. I can tell you there's a lot of people. I don't think we're going to have a shortage of people interested in working alongside us at Direct2MD. And I think a lot of that goes to the point that Paul's such a neat person to work with and a caring provider. But he's hand selecting him, right? He's picking people that he said earlier. You just have to be nice. You have to be nice and caring and truly just get to them quickly. That's our goal.
And listen.
Well, if that mom calls at 2 o'clock in the morning because she's going to go to the ER with her kid because she's scared, if you're frustrated because a mom called you up with a kid that had a fever at 2 o'clock in the morning, number one, she's unhappy. They're not happy with our business and where they're going. They're going to go get reassurance. Now you haven't saved them that visit.
Right.
I mean, and again, if we have to send you in, I feel badly every time I have to send somebody to the ER. But guess what? Patients don't. They're like, well, I have to go in the ER, but I may have to go in, but at least an ER doc told me I had to.
Yes.
Right.
They get
that.
Right.
And so,
they're reassured that they're making the right decision.
Yeah. And we just hire, again, that's the way we're hiring. I have some amazing PAs that are working for us. I have
awesome.
Some amazing docs. We have a couple truly fluent bilingual providers that speak great Spanish.
Oh,
it's just
about that aspect.
We've got females, we've got males, it's just, you know, you can kind of, the way that our program is set up, you can sign in and see an on-demand doctor. And so there's docs that are just waiting for calls to come in. So they'll jump on. You don't have as much selection for who you're going to see. And most people are very fine with that. But the beauty is if you have continuity, you get comfortable. I have several of my PAs and docs that have regular visits
hours.
Because you can sign in, you can have regular hours virtually on the app. And so they say, well, I'm going to see patients these days and I'll pick up some on-demand calls. But the beauty is I notice that they're getting the same recurrent visits from patients that have become comfortable with them. And that's the whole idea.
And concierge medicine is often very high priced. It serves to a level of clientele that they can afford that high level service.
Right. Most people can't afford that. And so that's a big issue. You know, these guys are providing a level of care that you're just not seeing in other environments. If you had a rash on your arm, say, hey, doc, look at this. All right, let's try this ointment here. Well, tomorrow you call in. Hey, let's look at this. Okay, it looks like it's getting better or it's not. Let's look at this again the next day. Try to do that with your primary care. And here you're accessing this, you know, whenever you need to or whatever you can, as you can just call in and take care of that. You know, one thing you didn't mention is I could have a 13-year-old at home that's sick. I'm at work. Kid's sick. I get them on the phone. I get on the phone. I can tie into them. We have a 3-way call. I can now be a parent and be a responsible parent. We can go through that whole diagnosis, determine what that need is. I didn't have to take off work. My kid's all right. And the beauty is not going to an office visit or not going to a hospital where there's stuff on those chairs that none of us really want to touch and don't even think
right,
about.
Right. You get sick at hospitals.
Right. Well, and you know, it's the time that happens. And so it's like you said, like the kid with the appendicitis. How many extra hours did that kid have to sit in pain before they got something taken care of? Instead, they went right to the spot they needed to and got quick service. And, you know, just the reassurance that these guys are bringing to the table. I can tell you the employers that we're working with, whether the employees have insurance, they don't have insurance, they can't afford the cost sharing to be on the insurance. They absolutely love this program and the employers love it.
From a business perspective, and obviously this is Business Radio X, so those are our listeners, the professionals and the business owners, the CEOs who are making these decisions on behalf of their stakeholders. I keep picturing as we're telling these stories, the woman in the cubicle or in the office, and she's already had to be out, you know, sick for her kids 3 or 4 times recently. And she's getting that call from that kiddo who's at home, and she hates the fact that he or she got home and she's not there anyway, right? All that psychological stuff that we have to deal with as parents. And so from her desk, right, she can be making these decisions, and she's there, she's productive, it only takes a couple minutes. I mean, she's still... It just eases everybody's mind and heart around on what you're providing.
Well, it puts her mind at ease, too. She's now comfortable. Her child's been diagnosed. You've got an ER doc on the phone. I mean, these guys are great. And Paul can't tell how great it is until you actually go out and experience it. Then you're like, oh, wow, this is really fantastic. I mean, we even did an enrollment meeting at a company, and one of the kids came in sick, one of the guys, and he wanted to do the call over the phone in front of everybody. So we loaded up the app.
Let me give this a try.
To say the least.
So well, we did the whole thing. It took about 10 minutes from the time to load the app, make the call, get on the doctor, have the whole diagnosis. I was like, well, I guess we don't have to present today, because it was done.
Yeah. Right.
And everybody's like, wow, we had no idea it could be this great.
I feel like I got to mention something, because we've alluded to it a lot, and what Mike's saying with our plans, and Scott may be able to speak to that. It is business radio. Like you said, we can talk a little bit about, hey, how does our platform work? How do you get enrolled? Yes. That kind of thing. But when we have a couple different programs, but the vast majority, we don't just cover the employee. We cover all your dependents. And that includes kids up to the age of 26. I do calls with kids in dorm rooms all over the country, mm-hmm. because where do you want them going? You want them walking across the student healthcare or across the campus at 10 o'clock at night on finals night in the snow? I don't know. I could keep going. But to end up catching the flu at the student healthcare center, or you want to stay in, and you want your daughter sitting there in her fluffy slippers talking to me on the phone and then driving through Walgreens. Mm-hmm. And so we take care of those extended families. And another thing I hadn't mentioned is this is portable. You bring your phone with you. Guess what? You're bringing your doc with you, because
right.
we take care of you.
Rooms.
I cannot tell you countless calls from Disneyland Hotel. My 4-year-old woke up vomiting. Can you save our vacation? Mm-hmm. Can you do that? Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, it's satisfying doing this work all the time. But when you can reach somebody, it's bad enough to be sick at home, but when you're sick on the road, it is miserable. And if you get on the phone with somebody that can help you, we pull up the closest pharmacy and you're on your way.
So you talk to people when they're in Europe. I mean, it's really a great.
I was picturing my kiddo on a soccer tournament, and I'm not there, and they don't know where to go or what, you know, all
exactly
that.
Right.
Fantastic.
In Mexico, too. I mean, I could see so much, you know, application there.
You get my hamster wheel spinning, and I go crazy because I can't get to it.
Clearly, though, but I love it. Scott, can you speak to a little bit about, you know, what is the onboarding for businesses, and how do we get started?
Yeah, it's well, again, as Paul alluded to earlier, we do have a few ways that people can sign up. You can sign up as a consumer. So if we're, you know, someone wanted to just directly go to our website, which is www. I don't know if you say that anymore, but direct2md.com. You can sign up either as an individual with $20 a month price tag, or as a family, which is $30 a month. And again, that's everybody in the family.
Gosh,
that covers everybody
great.
up to age 26. I know that Paul did a, alluded to that with the European, but not only do we take care of the kids, but if there's an issue beyond that, I think that we got a letter in the office this week where there's some parents that you had reached out to one of their kids. Thank you, Mike. In Spain, possibly, and the parents were getting ready to get on an airplane and go see their sick child. But because she had access to Direct2MD, we got permission from her to call the parents, say, chill out, everything's going to be okay, and kept them from actually taking an unnecessary trip.
Right.
So that was kind of a neat thing.
Hey, Scott, just to clarify, Direct2, that's Direct, the number 2. MD, not spelled out.
I was going to do that. Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. And then,
of
course,
we're going to keep Mike. He's making sure this guy's in front of the microphone.
There
we're making sure we're doing the URL correctly. You're staying. He's mine now.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then other than that, we do, as we were talking earlier, a lot of our work through brokers. And so if you're in the health insurance space as a broker right now, talking to small businesses, medium-sized business, or heck, just businesses that are looking for a different way to provide health care to their employees, we want to talk to you. And so if you're in that area, we want that. But other than that, it's a pretty simple process. Once somebody decides they want to get involved with us, we send out a request for a census of the company. We send out a contract. We didn't mention it, but there's no contract in terms of monthly agreement. It's just month to month. So you're there. And if you don't like it, you can leave. We haven't had that happen. I think the service is speaking for itself, but it's a pretty simple thing to get involved in. You just contact us and we'll get you set up with the census and you're off and running.
You plan on seeing us in person. Again,
yeah.
We think that's a huge part of this. You've got to be familiar with the providers. You got to be familiar with the platform. And it's really enjoyable for me and Scott, I think, to get out in front of them and say, hey, guys, pull out your phones. Here we go. But the walkthrough is amazing. The truth is, if we can get one employee champion in the office, sometimes it's the HR person, sometimes it's the receptionist, but you just make a friend, be friendly, be nice, and get one employee champion and under promise, over deliver. Word spreads like wildfire. That's how you get utilization.
Word of mouth, yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Aren't you glad I invited you?
Yeah, this is great. I really love the concept that it's taking the Teladoc, you know, taking the telemed concept up to the next level, which I think is really, really important. The fact that you're available in, like, you know, all 50 states internationally is really, really huge. The fact that, you know, you can have a child that can call you, a college student that can call you. I'm thinking of a lot of people that I know that are uninsured right now that don't know what to do, that this is a huge, potential for them to be able to reach out to, you know, physicians and PAs and get the help that they need, especially stop gaps in between things and marketing that. So like my head's spinning too. I'm excited for you. I think it's great. And what I really think is awesome is that you're local, you're Phoenix grown. Yes. It's awesome. Yeah. Congratulations, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really
thank
great.
You. Thank you.
If you would please one more time, the website is direct2md.com.
Mm-hmm.
And social media, got to ask that because, you know, that's how a lot of people find us. Are you anywhere where we can?
Yeah, sure. I think, what is it? We're on all the major tweets, Paul. What is that now?
I know all the Twitters.
Yes.
You know we got Facebook. We've got Instagram. You can find us on YouTube.
Twitter. Very good. Sure. And under that would be Direct2MD
correct.
As well.
Correct. Yes.
Very good.
MD.
And are the three of you on LinkedIn professionally as well?
Yes. We are.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, a couple of you are anyway.
Two out of three.
Great. Hey, thank you. When you and I met, originally back at Syntech a couple years ago, I just remember being so fascinated by the level of care that you were providing. And briefly after we did our short interview, you and I got to meet Paul as we were heading out. And I kept thinking, gosh, I need to get them on for a full length segment because what you're doing, you're helping to change healthcare. You're helping to fill this void and put people at ease, not only the family, the individual who needs healthcare and someone to help guide and direct them, but also the employers who are trying to figure out ways to not only keep their employees happy, but keep them there and healthy and doing it when they don't have to, you know, open up their pocketbook and lose a ridiculous amount of money. So all the way around, it's a win. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show that our location sponsor is Conscious Capitalism of Arizona. And if you're not familiar with that movement, I would encourage you guys to come and get to know us because everything that you're speaking to, the mission, the purpose, and the vision of what you're doing is exactly who we are as an international movement. And the theme is, it's just good business. When we help others, we help ourselves. It's a long-term game, and we all win. And that's really what we've been discussing today. So thank you again so much for being here. And Barb, thank you too for coming to be my co-pilot.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, broadcasting live from within the Max 6 and Conscious Capitalism Arizona studio. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.